Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce and Chris McGregor. I'm Chris McGregor, and this morning we're very blessed to have with us Mark Brumley, the president of Ignatius Press, and a man who has been very involved with a book that I think all of us have been waiting for, a study guide for Joseph Ratzinger, of course, Pope Benedict XVI, a study guide for his book, Jesus of Nazareth, which is now available in a wonderful Ignatius Press edition softcover with some extras. So, Mark, welcome.
Hi, well, I'm happy to be back KVSS.
Mark, leave it to Ignatius Press to once again take something that we've all been wanting and to present it to us in a way that is above and beyond our expectations. Thank you so much for this great study guide.
Well, thank you. We're trying to make this book, Jesus of Nazareth, which is a great book, our Holy Father, you know, as accessible, user-friendly as possible. So that's the idea behind the study guide.
Well, let's talk about this book, Jesus of Nazareth, by Pope Benedict XVI. It's the first book that really came out under his reign as the pontiff.
Yes, it's kind of a curious thing. Oh, I guess half the book, or maybe a little less than half the book, was written by him while he was Joseph Ratzinger. And then after he became Pope Benedict XVI, he completed the balance of the book, but it came out as a published book after he was Pope, and that was something that distinguished it from other things that he's written. It's also distinguished from acts of the magisterium, or the official teaching office of the Pope. He makes clear in the introduction that this is not an expression of his teaching office as the Bishop of Rome, as the Pope, but it reflects his ideas as a theologian.
And what ideas it reflects. I know for so many people, using that analogy, they have to wear sunglasses because it is he is so brilliant that when you read him, for many people, it's difficult to even get through the first chapter.
Yeah, I think there are lots of different kinds of people that approach this book. One, you know, group would be scholars, and they're interested in what he has to say from a scholarly, theological point of view, whether it's biblical scholarship, you know, a biblical scholar, someone who focuses on getting at the heart of what the Bible is saying, or a systematic theologian, somebody who takes the overall faith of the church and tries to see where, you know, what the Pope is saying in this book, how that fits into the overall scheme of things. That's a scholarly discussion. And then you have kind of what I would call kind of popular devotional reading of the book. And people that approach it from that perspective may find some challenges, although I think that if you read the sections of the book on the Sermon on the Mount, for example, or the Lord's Prayer, these are sections that have deep devotional quality to help you reflect on what does it mean to be a Christian, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. What does it mean to pray? That's seen in the Holy Father's treatment of the Lord's Prayer. So, yeah, there were sections for scholars, sections for the sort of popular spiritual reader, and then for a lot of people who are somewhere in between, the book poses some challenges. And that's why in our study guide, you know, we include an outline of the whole book, chapter by chapter. We include a summary of each chapter of the book, study questions, reflection questions, and then a glossary of terms. Mm-hmm. Both the original edition hardcover and the paperback edition that we've published has a glossary, but we've added to that glossary some other terms so that people who are, maybe they're not, you know, theologians or experts or whatever, as they're reading the book and they come across a term that they don't know, if it's not in the glossary, the paperback edition itself, it's in the glossary that we've produced in the study guide.
I love the questions for understanding, but then also the questions for application. Perfect.
Yeah, the idea there is that first you want to ask questions and make sure you understand what the Holy Father is writing, what he's discussing, but not just, we don't just want to understand, we want to say, how does this apply? You know? So we have those questions to help us understand better what he's saying, but also questions that will apply what he's saying to our lives, our spiritual lives.
It is an extraordinary gift to us, the faithful of the church, to have this. Well, and frankly, to the whole world, to have Jesus of Nazareth, because he really gives us a personal Jesus, doesn't he? I mean, so often in Bible studies, they've done this historical dissection of the scriptures to such an extent that for many years, Mark, so many people didn't even really, could not identify with which Jesus people were talking about.
Right. Sometimes you hear scholars talk about the distinction between the Jesus of history and the Christ of faith. Mm-hmm. And I wrote an introduction to the study guide in which I talk about that. And there's a valid distinction that's made between what we can know about Jesus just from studying history and what we know about him based upon the what the church proclaims by faith. But that distinction, as our Holy Father makes clear, should never be seen as an opposition. It's not as if the Jesus of history was different from the Christ of faith. And some scholars want to try to get you to believe that that's the case. They want to get you to believe that Jesus, as he really existed, the real flesh and blood man, didn't necessarily teach what the church teaches or didn't necessarily do all the things that the Bible describes Jesus as doing. So we have things like the Da Vinci Code and all these other things that are positing that Jesus was very different from what the church says. Well, the Holy Father makes clear that when you study history without bringing to it a bias or an anti-Christian perspective, anti-Christian pair of lenses through which you read history, mm-hmm. when you take history seriously, look at the evidence of history seriously, that the Jesus who emerges from that is a Jesus who is compatible with and points to the Christ that the church proclaims. These are not two different Jesuses. They're one and the same Jesus. It's just that historical study can only take us so far. And it's good and valuable as it is. It doesn't give us the full truth about Jesus, even when it's engaged in a way that's not, you know, biased against the supernatural. It can't give us the whole Jesus. The whole Jesus we can only have through accepting the proclamation of the Word of God in the teaching of the Church. There we find the Jesus who is not just a figure of history, but is alive and someone with whom we can enter into communion, the Word of God that God has made present to us.
Yeah, I am so stunned by the effectiveness of this particular study guide to really help connect an opportunity for us not only to use a Lectio type of experience in reading Pope Benedict, but also to be able to glean into the deeper study. I mean, you've brought both worlds together, which is difficult to do in most group activities, don't you think?
Yeah, that was a real challenge, to make something that could be used by the more sophisticated, you know, readers of the book, and at the same time be used by, you know, the man or woman in the pew who doesn't necessarily have a deep theological background, but who wants to read Jesus of Nazareth in a way that, you know, not just kind of gives them information, but helps them grow closer to God and gives them something to apply in their daily lives.
I'm surprised that you were able to secure the softcover rights to the book. How did you accomplish that?
In one sense, it was difficult. In another sense, it was easy.
Wow.
The actual process by which this was done was very involved and complicated, so that's the difficult aspect of it. But the easy aspect is that the Holy Father wanted us to do it.
Well, that makes it work.
It's like one of those things where, you know, you have to work with all of the various publishers and the attorneys and the, you know, all of this to make these things happen. When you're dealing with just the Holy Father, it was pretty straightforward, but when we have all these other things, you know, different folks at the Vatican, that's when it got complicated. So the international scope of this book and the best-selling status of it kind of complicated the picture, too, because this is not like an encyclical, which everybody has the rights to, nor is it like previous books of Joseph Ratzinger, which Ignatius Press, you know, has the rights to. Mm-hmm. This was a new work, and there was an Italian publisher who held the world rights, and of course, Doubleday had the hardcover rights, and Ignatius was given the paperback or softcover rights, so it got very complicated.
But how wonderful, though, because I find myself in this particular edition, the new softcover of Pope Benedict XVI's Jesus of Nazareth that is being published by Ignatius Press. I find it in my hands. It's almost, dare I say it, it's close to a scripture. Because you can sit, well, you can sit and you can, you know, really ruminate with a word. You can mark it up, but then also go to the study guide and you pray with it, but you can also, you know, study with it. And that in itself, I think, is a real gift because we need commentaries like this today.
You know, one of the things I do, and I've gone through Jesus of Nazareth several times now, but what I've done with my own version of the study guide mm-hmm. is I have use the section that we have for notes to just kind of add my own little thoughts. As I'm going through the book, I just jot down my own little thoughts. And it really, especially as I'm preparing now, I'm getting in preparation for Advent.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it's also good you can use the book for Lent. But just to think of thoughts in relation to the liturgical season, I'm going back through my notes and kind of highlighting what are the things that fit with the liturgical season, whether it's Advent or Christmas or Lent or Easter. You know, and that's always a good thing to do because we can read a text, you know, on the basis of where we're at in the liturgical year, and that can deepen our participation both in the liturgy and in our kind of appropriating or taking over what's there in the books that we're reading. I think that's a good practice in general, good spiritual practice in general,
mm-hmm.
for whatever you're reading, to think about how does it tie in to the church's liturgical life and the season that I'm in right now.
I love it, and I think it's set up in such a way that you do not necessarily have to feel intimidated. Somehow we need to have a scholared or an
right.
educated person leading us as much
right.
as you allow the study guide, and the Holy Spirit within the group can really, I think, break this open beautifully.
Yeah, I think that's true, and that's part of what we wanted to do. We created the study guide so that it can be used by an individual on his own, you know, just I'm using this, or in a group, and the assumption was not that the group would necessarily have a scholar or somebody who's an expert leading the group, but it may just have, you know, just maybe a group of people that get together on Tuesday morning or Wednesday night or whatever, and they're reading the book. And as they're reading it, they want some help in culling from it all of the benefits that are there, and that's what the study guide can help them do.
Was there a particular section or chapter in Jesus of Nazareth that really spoke to your heart, that jumped out above all the others?
Well, I think there probably are three, actually.
Okay.
The chapters on the Sermon on the Mount,
mm-hmm.
And the Lord's Prayer, and I think it's chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book, or chapter, is that right? Chapter 4 is the Sermon on the Mount, and chapter 5 is the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Those are very, very interesting chapters. They're interesting to me for two reasons. I kind of approach them on the one hand from the perspective of, well, you know, what does the Pope say? How does it correlate with biblical scholarship and all of that? So that's kind of interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, setting that aside and just saying, what does it mean for my spiritual life, whatever the scholars may say, I found them just very good meditative chapters on what, you know, for example, the Sermon on the Mount, what are the Beatitudes?
Mm-hmm.
What do they mean? That's something that we should think about, you know, because I'm like a lot of people. I have a Beatitude problem. Which is that I don't live the Beatitudes very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holy Father's reflection on the Sermon on the Mount, very, very potent for me spiritually. And likewise, the Lord's Prayer. You know, this prayer we pray every day. Some of us pray it several times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, do we really understand what the various aspects of the prayer mean? Well, the Holy Father does a great job of helping us reflect on that. So those are the two, I said two or three. The third that I found really interesting, of course, the whole book is spiritually dynamic, but the section on the Gospel of John I found fascinating because it's kind of a little mini overview of John's Gospel. And, you know, he has a chapter which is really on the on the principal themes of John's gospel. And somebody can go through that and just call the different ideas, how John uses various images, the image of water, the image of the vine and wine, of bread, of the shepherd, these images, and just meditate on what they mean, and then go back and read the Gospel of John, and you'll find you've just got deep insights that the Holy Father has provided into what the Gospel of John is all about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could go through and talk about
each chapter
because he does such a great job of combining both the kind of theological stuff, which I'm interested in as kind of a theology geek, but also just the ordinary, down-to-earth, pastoral, spiritual stuff, which has application for our lives.
Yeah, I found it so edifying, too, in a way, when I pray the Luminous Mysteries, because those I've been praying with them, but it's been difficult to meditate over the years because I'm just not used to thinking in those terms. And yet, with the baptism of the Lord, I thought, when I first read that, I had to go back and read it over and over again, the Sermon on the Mount, just like you. It has changed my meditation on those mysteries.
Yes. I just got back from a trip to the Holy Land where we visited a lot of the, you know, the sites and life of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, doing that has a kind of a transformative power in your prayer when you're reading the Bible, when you're praying a rosary, and you're going through these mysteries because you've been to those places and you think about them a little differently. Well, there's a similar experience I had in reading through Jesus of Nazareth and then going through and coming up, you know, reviewing these study questions and working with the different people who contributed to this. It really affected my reading of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of reading the Bible or seeing the events of the Bible through the eyes that the Holy Father has provided. So, it's great. I mean, Jesus of Nazareth is a great book. We try to do a good job with the study guide of kind of, as I said, culling from Jesus of Nazareth these wonderful spiritual and theological jewels that the Holy Father has to offer. And I hope that the readers will get Jesus of Nazareth, and if they haven't already, certainly get the study guide and use it for individual study or with groups.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. And I also want to say thank you to Ignatius Press for publishing his Wednesday Reflections on the Fathers of the Church.
Well, we're happy to do that. I mean, it's wonderful that he gives these reflections, but it's one of the sad things of our time is that so few people actually get a chance to read what the Holy Father says in wonderful Wednesday audiences. And so that's one of the reasons why we did this, you know, just to try to get the folks out there to have contact with what the Holy Father is teaching. And, of course, the Fathers of the Church are a wonderful source of inspiration in terms of their own personal witness of faith, but also their teaching, what they taught us.
And since I have you on the phone, Mark, I also just have to just, again, it's just a kudos to Ignatius Press for bringing in those wonderful DVDs that are available to families on the lives of the saints. I mean, they just get better and better and better. And this holiday season in particular, I encourage people to get these films, whether it's the life of St. Rita or Maria Goretti or even the new one with Francis and Claire. And I mean, just phenomenal, Mark. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, our marketing director, Tony Ryan, kind of heads up this department, and he's just doing a superb job of finding just some of the best videos out there on the saints and making them available, and then we're producing these little booklets, little study guides that go with the films so that people, you know, they can not only watch the film, but they get a little booklet that tells them about the saint and how the movie came to be, and it's just a wonderful thing. I'm just amazed at the response that we've gotten to these movies. I mean, obviously there's a big demand for something that is spiritually substantive, but also entertaining. You know, you can watch it. It's just kind of entertainment, and it's got a value. I'm happy that you're happy with them, and I hope that people will continue to buy them and support them and help us to be able to provide more.
Well, just as a little personal witness, I mean, my girlfriend and I are sitting down with the Teresa of Avila series, and the study guide that you provided really helps us. So you just kind of take it in chunks. So you sit and you have some coffee and you're watching this, and then you can discuss it. It is such a gift to us to have a publisher, a distributor of these really wonderful Catholic products that really sustain us in our faith.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I encourage people to get these movies because The more you get them and spread them around, the more evangelism you can do, and also it makes it possible for us to get more and to produce more and, you know, do things like that. We just came back from the Holy Land with a wonderful pilgrimage with Steve Ray, mm-hmm. Janet Ray, in the Footprints of God fame, and we made the video series. And the great thing about it is so many people have been touched by videos, by the Footprints of God and other videos we've done, both the Lives of the Saints kind of movies, but also the documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a real time to use these tools to evangelize other people, you know, our family members, our friends, our neighbors, and that's a neat thing. I definitely believe in books and giving people books to read and so on, but unfortunately not everybody is you know, amenable to reading today as maybe was the case in earlier ages. And the power of videos is something that can be used to evangelize people.
Well, these videos in particular, I think it was Father Thomas Dubé who said once that some of the best theology books are the Lives of the Saints. And if you cannot sit down and read a life of a saint, or if you just, as an introductory, you can be confident that if you're viewing a film that's been distributed by Ignatius Press, you're getting something that is high quality, but also very true to the life of that saint. It's not a dramatized, fictional account.
Yes, and that's what we're striving to be very, very faithful and get the essence of the saint. Obviously, a movie, whether it's a 2-hour movie, a 3-hour movie, or a mini series like the Teresa of Avila series, you know, you can't get the whole life of the saint in there, but you can try to get a distillation of the essence of that saint so that we can, you know, the saints are sort of this, what you might call it, many faceted expression of the splendor of the church, the splendor of Christ. Jesus, as his life is lived out through the various saints and the various places that God has placed them. And so, you know, reading about the saints and watching lives of the saints not only inspires us, but shows us how Jesus can live, you know, through us in the various conditions of life and vocations and things of that sort. So it's real important that, you know, we become better acquainted with the lives of the saints. There's so much that they have to teach us and so much richness to their lives that films can be a powerful tool for helping us to come to know them better.
When it comes to tools as far as coming to know our faith and knowing the saints and even knowing Jesus from the study guide that's provided for Jesus of Nazareth by Pope Benedict, you can count on Ignatius Press and Mark Brumley as president of that wonderful company. Thank you so much, and I wish we had more time to talk, but do you have any final thoughts for the audience?
Well, you know, I just think people, we need to be using the time that God has given us to get to know Jesus better, and the way that happens is through the study of Scripture, and we have these wonderful guides, people like Pope Benedict XVI, who help us understand the Scripture better, help us understand who Jesus is better, and we have the opportunity today to not only read the Bible and study the Bible with the help of great people like the Pope, but to begin to share our faith with other people. It's real important. I know some of the things going on in the political and social arena, you know, some of these things have people very upset or concerned, and we should be involved and we should be concerned when we see evils in our society, but at the same time, we should have confidence, you know, that the Holy Spirit is with us, that Jesus is with us and guiding us, and that He's not been caught off guard by anything that we see in our society. We should undertake the mission of the church, regardless of who we are, whether we're lay people or clergy or religious, which is to evangelize, to share God's love through Jesus Christ with other people. And we have so many tools available in the form of books and magazines and videos that we should be making use of them and not sort of keep them all for ourselves, but use them as ways of sharing with other people. So that's my closing thought.
I love it. It's the best kind of closing thought. The new evangelization, it depends on us.
Amen.
So Mark Brumley, thank you again so much for joining us. We've been speaking with Mark Brumley, president of Ignatius Press, about Pope Benedict XVI's Jesus of Nazareth, now available in a wonderful softcover copy by Ignatius Press, and also the study guide that is available through Ignatius Press for that book. Get both of them. You'll be so glad you did. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.